devil. It's not your person that's next to you or the person that's on your nerves. It's the devil working behind the scenes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a witch that's trying to stop us from moving forward. But if you have the good fight of faith and fight it, glory to God, you will overpower your adversary, which is the devil, and you will experience victory.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Capacity. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4.
2 Peter chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through 4 out of the King James, and then one verse, that is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 out of the New Living Translation. But the King James, you will read four verses, and then we'll look at it again in the New Living Translation. And the word of the Lord reads like this: the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up, look at that word, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This is pretty serious writing from a fisherman, isn't it? This is a person who never went through schools, theology school, but he had an encounter with the Lord. And he writes to us, I love the right to read, the fisherman who became an apostle. And what he says to us, it is full of theology, but also stirring in our minds. Again, verse 1, he says, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And so when we remember certain things, we're stirring up our pure minds. The New Living Translation reads like this, verse 1, this is my second epistle to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory, to stimulate your wholesome thinking. I'm doing a series called Containers and Content, and today's message is one word, simple word. It's called capacity. I need to stir up some capacity. I believe the Holy Ghost, as Peter was sent to stimulate and to stir up by remembrance, or bringing things to your memory. I believe the Lord wants us to be stirred, that he has called us first. We have a job to do. We're living in the last days. If your gifts aren't activated, we're going to miss this moment. There's some things that I can't do until your gift is activated. In other words, if you bring me into the moment, we may see a shift. I'm going to stir up by the Holy Ghost the gifts that's in you. The leaders here are going to pray for you. God, move you into a place of activation. I want to look at your capacity. Do you have the capacity to be stirred? Do you have the capacity to be healed? Do you have the capacity to grow? Glory to God. You have the capacity to expand. And if you do, God is going to help you with it today. Can the church say amen? Glory to God. I keep seeing Papa Kenyon for some reason. Let's pray for him now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what's happening, but I do see his face. I pray for Papa Kenyon. Touch his body, his mind, and spirit. Be glorified in the man. Cover him, Lord, in this hour. We will give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say with me, stir up the gift. Do you believe you have one? I didn't hear everybody. Do you believe you're gifted? You believe it, Chris? Let me go on this side. Do you believe you're gifted? Okay. And I believe you're gifted as well. Holy Ghost does. So he wants to stimulate that thing. Clap your hands for it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The stirring doesn't always come when you want it to come. It's when God wants it to come. And I have a series of teachings that I wanted to do. He said to me Wednesday night to stir up the gift. Obviously, he wants to do some pouring. He wants some things to be stimulated in you so you can get activated to do the work that he's called you to. It won't be a long, strong message today, but it's going to be a lot of activation. Thank you, Lord. Get ready for it. Let me do it like Jake's. Get ready. But Jake's is a bad man. Get ready. That's 35 years ago. Get ready. I don't think the nation was ready for what God was going to do through that one man. A strong spirit is a major key to living a productive life in the kingdom. A strong spirit is a major key to a productive life in the kingdom of God. As believers, we need a strong spirit. We need a healthy spirit. Nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost, but your human spirit needs to be recreated in the image of God. It needs to be stimulated and made alive. I believe it was Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "To you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin." Which simply means before Jesus, your human spirit is not considered to be living and vivacious. It is laying dormant. When you put your faith in Jesus, he activates the human spirit. And that spirit must grow, just like your physical body must grow. It is made alive, but if you leave a baby on a cot and don't feed it, it can stay. You can stun its growth. It may be alive, but it's not going to grow with strong bone and intellectually. It's not going to grow philosophically and physically. Your spirit is like that. It's recreated in Jesus, but it must be fed for it to become strong and bold and healthy. And as believers, the condition of your spirit will determine the quality of your life. The condition of your spirit will determine the quality of your life. We all want quality of life or a healthy quality of life. But it starts with a condition, with the condition of your spirit. If a person gets born again, comes to know Jesus, confesses with their mouth, and believes in the heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, he shall be saved. But if you stop right there, if you fail to develop your spirit and maintain your spirit, then you will fall short of everything God has preordained for you to have. And you'll wonder why you're frustrated. Why haven't you been able to step into the abundance? And it's really because you just trusted in the fact that you save and you're going to heaven. But you got to feed your spirit. Now, if I want to grow academically, I have to feed myself intellectually, which simply means I must read books and get my lesson and apply myself. And anybody that's got any kind of degree in your life shouldn't have any excuse about living a mediocre life or not stepping into a spiritual abundance, because it is the same discipline that you use to get A's on your test. If you apply the same discipline on study and discipleship, you will grow your spirit. It is not a different discipline. It is the same discipline. And so many believers have trusted in the fact that they got saved. They actually heard a hell scared message. That is the preacher talking about, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. And they made it, "Ooh, I ain't going to hell." And they got in the line and got saved. But that's where they stopped. I just don't want to go to hell. But God wants you to go to heaven, but he wants you to bring a little heaven to this earth. That's why he put his spirit. Heaven is in you. I think it was Solomon that said he put eternity in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. What does that mean? What do you mean, Solomon? He put eternity. He put a God-shaped hole in you that nothing else can fill. Thank you, Lord. He gave you capacity to know more about him. To every man is given a measure of faith, enough faith to believe, but you must build on this faith. You must grow your faith. You must fight and contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Can the church say amen? Therefore, as believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, it is imperative that we do everything necessary to make sure that our spirits are strong. God has done his part. He saved it and recreated it. He made it alive. But we must do our parts to build it up. And as believers, we should be endeavoring to develop the winning spirit. We should endeavor to develop the winning spirit in our lives. So what is a winning spirit? Number one, our winning spirit should be fighting the good fight of faith. If you have a winning spirit and you're not contending, I'm telling you now, just kick that winning spirit, or the concept of the winning spirit, out of your mind. Because a winning spirit will fight for faith. Thank you, Lord. In other words, somebody can give you an alternative, you would automatically kick it to the side and really hold on what you believe and fight for it. In other words, you're trying to build it up. If you start doubting your faith, doubting if you really, really should be here, or you should be connected to your local ministry, or maybe you should contend for that. What did God say to you before? And whatever he said before is connected with what he's saying now. Don't allow the enemy to knock you out because of a circumstance or an issue and draw you away from the faith that you already possess. I think it was Paul that said it to the Galatians. It may be chapter 3. He called the Galatians foolish. He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Then he said, "Who has bewitched you? Who has stirred the pot and served you a brew? And you ate it. You sipped on the soup of this witchery. That if you started in faith, somehow or another you will end in your laws or in your works. If you started in faith, contend for it and finish in faith." Glory to God. Blessed be his name. And so if you're going to really develop the winning spirit, you need to fight the good fight of faith. And if you fight the good fight of faith, you will become victorious. God will not allow any believer to fight the good fight of faith and come up short. If you fight the good fight of faith, you're going to win. Faith requires it. Glory to God. Let me just help you out of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. That God, the Bible says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? He that comes to God must first believe that he is. Watch this. He's a rewarder now. If you believe, he's going to reward you for your belief. If you fight the good fight of faith, you will not lose. Glory to God. If you fight the good fight of faith, he will reward every time you make a step toward that, or you bop in your faith, he's going to make sure you have the winning solution. Glory to God. And so I want to encourage you, our spirit should be fighting the good fight of faith, and you will be victorious over your circumstance. Let me help you. You will be victorious over your adversary. For your adversary is who? The scripture says it's the devil. It's not your person that's next to you or the person that's on your nerves. It's the devil working behind the scenes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a witch that's trying to stop us from moving forward. But if you have the good fight of faith and fight it, glory to God, you will overpower your adversary, which is the devil, and you will experience victory. Glory to God. Now, if we're willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. You got to be willing to fight for it. Amen. Glory to God. Let me help you say it again. You got to be willing to fight for it. If you fight for it, you will win. I can say that emphatically. If you fight for it, you will win. Glory to God. Let me say it again. If you fight for it, glory to God. Somebody need to get that. If you will only fight for it, you will win every single time. God doesn't allow anybody to run this race of faith, to fight this battle of faith and come up short. He is a rewarder of them that diligently, glory to God, that diligently, I know you're tired, but diligently, glory to God, I know you're discouraged, but diligently, if you fight for it, good God from Zion, you can win it. Thank you, Jesus. Let me prophesy. Let me decree it. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for the impartation, for the fight. In the name of Jesus, release it in the lives of your people, a willingness to fight and to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of Jesus Christ. And it is so in Jesus' name. You got to believe with me. I'm pushing, but you got to help me. Clap those hands. Fight for it. If you're going to have a winning spirit, number two, write it down. Our spirit should be superior to our minds. It should be superior to our thoughts. It should be superior to our bodies, rather than being controlled by our minds, our thoughts, and our bodies. The spirit should be stronger. Thank you, Lord. Say, my spirit is stronger. My spirit is stronger. Now help me say this. My spirit is stronger than my mind. My spirit is stronger than my mind. Glory to God. Say, my spirit is stronger than my body. My spirit is stronger than my body. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Say, my spirit is stronger than my thoughts. Glory to God. Your spirit should be superior. It's powerful. Your spirit should be superior to your thoughts, to your mind, to your body. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It should be superior to your mind, your thoughts, and your body. Now, in many cases, it's not, because it is not grown. Thank you, Lord. When I don't have unction, my spirit should be able to push me through tough times. Why? Because it's been created in the image of God. Glory to God. It's been created in the image of God. It has the same DNA as God. Thank you, Jesus. And when Jesus was tired, hallelujah, and saw that the cross was before him, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he say? Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to deal with it. It's too much for me. But nevertheless, not my will. Here you see an exchange of his body, his thoughts, and mind coming subject to his spirit. Thank you, Jesus. His spirit now takes over. He begins to say, I will bless the Lord from a whole different source. Not my mind is saying, no, my spirit is kicking in now. My spirit is now leading me into new pastures. My spirit is leading me into a zone that's greater than what I've ever been in before. In my body, I have no strength. In my mind, I'm done. But because my spirit is strong, I'm able to push through. Can the church say amen? Amen? Let me say it again. My spirit is superior to my thoughts, my mind, and my body. Glory to God. Therefore, they're not subject to them. My spirit is not subject to my thought. Glory to God. I can overcome it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. A lot of times, preaching is not glamorous. It is glorious, but it's not glamorous. The study of the word weekly is not glamorous, but it's glorious. It's not even rewarding in the physical. I have to see a reward in the future. Because how do you measure whether a person is getting it or not? It's hard to measure success when you preach. You can't look at shouts because you can shout your way out the door. It's not like shout it out when you put it on your stain, it gets it out because you can't see. Only God would know. And so if you're looking for people, if you're looking to preach because you like the way people respond, after a while you'll feel like and realize it's not in that. Because some of the wonderful ones that respond could actually lose faith tomorrow. It will shock you. Glory to God. When Carlton Pearson started shifting, it shocked me because I love him. Glory to God. Just inspired by him. But he had an encounter and said that God showed him a new doctrine called inclusion. His father said, please back up off of that. But he was so caught up in it, he still moved in the way in which he was directed. And I believe there was an illusion here that overcame him. Am I saying that he's totally lost? No. God can do anything. But what I'm trying to tell you, if Carlton can be shifted in his faith, what would make you think you can't? That's why none of us should put confidence in our own minds or in your own intellect. You got to allow your spirit to be stronger and feed it so it can lead you into green pastures and beside the still waters. How does the shepherd lead you? He leads you through your spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, containers, give him glory right now. I'm pouring. You got to give him praise. Jesus. Well, there's going to be a lifting of the heads. And there's going to be a stirring of the spirit in Jesus' name. Write it down. Our spirits should maintain or possess and maintain the attributes. This is a winning spirit now, number three, of a winner. Number one, we should fight for the faith, contend for the faith if you have a winning spirit. Number two, your spirit should be superior to your thoughts. And number three, I believe our spirit should possess all the attributes of a winner. Winners never quit, and quitters never what? Never win. Our spirit should perfectly embody, all of our Lord's attributes. All that our master was while here on this earth. All that he walked in while here on this earth. All that he did. Now this is a major statement here. Everything that Jesus did, DNA of that is inside of us if we have his spirit. Was Jesus an overcomer? Was Jesus a winner? Was Jesus victorious? Even on the cross, he was victorious.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, Capacity, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2307-1608. That's reference number 2307-1608.
All middle and high schoolers are invited to a Full Sail University Career Day, sponsored by the Career and College Prep Ministry. Join us in the Fellowship Hall on Saturday, July 22nd at 9 a.m. to discover careers and opportunities from the world of entertainment, media, and emerging technologies. Contact Michael Pittman at career.college@truthrevealed.org to sign up.
Ladies, it's time to sport your favorite Awakened t-shirt and join Pastor Sabrina for experiencing the Holy Spirit at the regularly scheduled Awakened Women Fellowship on Saturday, July 22nd at 9 a.m. A continental breakfast will be available. So gather with us and remember to bring a donation in support of our back-to-school supply drive.
Hey, Thrive Teens. Join us on Saturday, July 22nd from 2:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. at Connect Park in Palm Bay for our field day. This is a perfect opportunity to invite your friends to come thrive with us in healthy competitions like basketball and kickball. Register today on the Truth Reveal app. New members classes are still in session. Email connect@truthrevealed.org to get started.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.